Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. This is the show where we learn to empathize and imagine with you, each other, and our guests. Welcome back. This is episode 20. My name is Aubrey.
I'm Drew Clark.
Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time.
So, right into it. What do we got? We got...
We have a gradient.
Right off the top.
Update.
Gradient update. What do we got?
Okay. So last time.
Last time was kind of a bummer.
It was grim.
It was a grim update.
Yeah. So I got the news that the place we had been working on and made an official offer on was never going to work for the kind of business we wanted to do. And that's where we ended last time. And it was like, and dark. Yeah. And so my partner, Reza, very smart man, he gave me some advice that I am still sort of trying to integrate. I recognize it as powerful because it comes as a disruption. Something that I've learned in the quest of empathy and imagination is that when something comes in as a disruption, like someone gives you advice that doesn't fit with your model, I found that for me that it can often be secret good news. Sometimes what lands is like, what are you talking about? Is if I consider it in disguise a good idea.
From you're saying, what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is what Reza said to me. And Reza said, you know, Drew, it's the people who have succeeded at being, you know, business starters.
Yeah.
They generally don't go, oh, okay, this is kind of cool and I'm gonna try for a while, but then if that doesn't work, I'm gonna, you know, kind of switch gears and kind of not. But basically says the people who succeed, they pick their favorite thing and they go until they die at that.
Pick the favorite, your favorite location, or pick your favorite
career
hobby
choice,
or
yeah, whatever dream. The thing is, dream, pick your,
yeah, that's true,
pick your favorite dream. And don't let anything get in your way between you and that dream. No matter what, that's cool. How you succeed. That's what I was told. And that is disharmonious with my view upon that if I'm doing something for a certain amount of time and I'm kind of in the experience noticing that it's harming me to continue this process. Like if I can measure self-harm occurring, I know to take a moment to consider if I want to continue that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So that is in conflict with that advice, and yet the advice seems sound. So I'm in this kind of position now. I'm not really sure what to do.
It's also the case that some people are quote unquote successful by chance, by accident. But yes, most people who pursue something, I don't know, because some people burn out on it.
And they switch gears.
Yeah.
Right?
A absolute singular focus of purpose. So Gandhi would be in that. Gandhi was successful. Right? Hitler would be successful. Someone who wanted to be president and became president would be a successful person. Or a serial killer with a certain agenda or body count, whatever. So, it's kind of, yes, provisionally, yes, I agree with that.
See, there's a provision, though. What's your provision?
I don't know. Instinct? Knowing when to say, like, when to recognize that you're at the bottom, and you're looking up from the bottom of the barrel.
What do you mean, bottom of the barrel?
I mean, it has to be a moral, ethical act for me.
What does?
In my opinion, whatever your dream is, if you're gonna try to achieve your dream, actualize your dream, it should be a dream that doesn't hurt or harm other people,
like,
and
maybe
respects other people's needs and so forth.
Maybe it's even a contribution to other people.
Yes. So in my view, yeah, Hitler's a failure because he may have achieved his dreams, but his dreams were vile and wicked. for something like art or business, maybe that is good advice. Maybe that's great advice. Hmm. Keep working on the novel, I guess, right? Keep working on the movie.
Yeah, finish it. Do it. That's hard. My brain, it is hard. I'm such an in-the-moment person that it's... That kind of commitment seems strange to me, but this may just be an opportunity for me to open my mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what's the longest project you've ever worked on?
Probably Nyarlathotep.
I mean, like, personal.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't involve other creators.
Good question.
Other contributors.
Just personal, like a, music making.
Like a boat or a car, like getting your car up to where you wanted it. You know, I could see that being a long project.
I've done years that for years. Sure. I've done that in several cars,
like too. Years and years, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is close to where I want it to be. So several years, you'd say?
Several years.
Yeah.
So there's this new news in the Gradient update. And that is...
Sorry for sidetracking.
No, that's important. I mean, yes, and please, you're helping me, so it's great. And the listeners, too, you're like reverse psychically sending images back to me backwards in time right now from listening, and I appreciate that. So thank you all. Appreciate it. Big news.
Big news. What have we got?
There's a new space. There's something else to look at. All of a sudden, I'm focusing. I spent a whole... Like, you know when you get into something, like you drop in and you don't bring your head up for as long as it takes?
Yeah.
So, like, I did that, searching for a building. I was like, every abso-fucking-lutely possible angle ever, I'm going to drill until I pass out. And I did.
Just on the internet, like, searching through, sifting through listings. Like,
everything.
Where's this new space?
It's in Vallejo. It's a live work.
Okay. Vallejo is what?
It's a bay town. It's about 27 minutes drive from where we are right now. 24 minutes.
We're in Richmond, California.
Yeah. Richmond, California to Vallejo is, 25 minutes.
Okay.
It's what's one freeway? It's straight across. Live. I don't think I could live there, though, because the ABC probably won't allow alcohol to be produced in a dwelling where someone lives. That probably can't legally ever happen. So the live work would have to be, we'd have to have it an office instead.
You could only sell, but you can't produce.
Right. We could sell if it was a live work, I think. Right.
Yeah.
But we couldn't produce. And that's a maybe also.
Yeah.
So we can't live there, but it does mean there's a bunch of space to not live in, to do other things with. So that's fine. I'll just find other uses for it. I won't like just have it empty and be annoyed that I'm paying for it. That won't happen.
You could just have another business or offices or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Offices, you could actually rent out offices.
Conference room. People would just pay to go and have a conference room. In a brewery? Totally.
You could do a share space type thing.
There's also like flow.
Create your own share space.
Yes. Yes.
So that's where you have your Zeitgeist meetings. That's where you have your, readings.
Yes.
For
yes.
Laugh practice, skit comedy show. That's where you have your rehearsals for Fake Lake. A community room that can be shared and signed up for. And there's clean facilities and attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a brewery right fucking downstairs.
With really good shit.
So
plus a 900-foot basement. So it's like maybe we could record down there. Who knows? Maybe it's kind of good. Could like record. I don't know. So I'm excited about the possibilities. Gradient, I'm still pursuing... And it's just more mystery. I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's going on.
Each week is like a new, it's ups and downs, you know? You have to completely weather the ups and downs.
It's like,
which is good
because
you have experience with waves.
I do. I do have experience with waves.
Both sound waves and concrete waves and ocean waves.
That's true.
So, got to ride out the wave until it becomes a plateau, right?
Something.
Wait out the no's until it becomes a yes.
So we're going tonight, me and the other head brewer.
It's a warehouse, you said?
Yeah, it's a warehouse, Vallejo. It's in it's the old town of Vallejo. Sweet. It's a walk. It's a short walk away from the San Francisco ferry that goes there.
It would be cool if you took pictures and we could post them on the web zone.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is take my camera and take maybe just kind of film the whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe do that. Maybe I'll take pictures too. We'll see.
Cool.
But tonight we're going. Me and nice. The head brewer guy, we're going to see if this is going to work.
I'm excited to hear what happens.
Yeah, me too.
Gradient update. Cool. I have a... That's not really an update. Just a little story.
Let's hear it.
So, you know Owen, who was on episode 10?
He's the guy who knew a lot about building muscle and was a great pianist.
Nutritionist and keyboardist.
Yeah, okay.
Keyboarder. Excuse me. And he somehow, one of his old band, one of the guys in his old band's wife knew somebody who has the studio. And the studio is at, it's like 9th and Gilman. You know, just some doorway. Just nondescript. No sign or anything on the outside. Just next to like a rug shop. And like Office Depot. Right there at 9th Street. So they got some time in the studio. This recording studio. Like 3 days. 3 10-hour days. Mm-hmm. So I went there and visited yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So I went there and visited yesterday. And yeah, it was pretty cool. It's, you know, it's just kick-ass to be in a recording studio. You know?
Yeah, it's fun. It just feels good.
It just feels good. There's a hangout space right in the front, you know, and so I went in and I met Owen's three bandmates. Owen was actually in the studio down the hall tracking something at the moment. So I went in there, met those guys, and there were, you know, two of the guys were on their laptops, and I was kind of like just figuring, you know, probably like doing work or checking email or something. And then like they're actually working on lyrics. Like, yeah, we go, this is like kind of stressing out. Like, we got to finish these lyrics, you know.
We're in the studio, it's time.
And then they're handing the laptop back and forth, like, oh, let me see what you got. Let me see, let me add to it and, you know, do what you can. Also, they seemed kind of like tired. And it was because they were completely partying on Tuesday night when they had all these guest musicians come in. I think by surprise, I don't know, but just kind of, you know, Fishbone, you know that band Fishbone?
I don't. Who's that?
It's a Bay Area band, just kick-ass kind of funk rock band. Been around forever. And anyway, that one, the guy from Fishbone, porn player, came in and tracked some stuff, and they had these female vocalists come in and track all this stuff. And then they had kind of blown it out. They kicked it. Had some beers and stuff. So they were tired. They were like kind of tired looking when I got there when I visited, but it was great. And the control room is just super silent. Huge board, like probably 16 feet wide. Three sets of monitors. And a screen like this for tracking, even bigger. It's just so cool. And yeah, that's my story. I went to a studio that I didn't know existed, a recording studio I didn't know existed in this nondescript building. And it was great.
Which city was this?
And everybody, this is in Berkeley.
Huh.
Yeah. 9th, like right next to T-Rex.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
I didn't know it was there either.
Yeah. And apparently it's been there for a while.
Like off Gilman.
And they've gotten a platinum record.
Really?
For Foster the People, that album. You've heard the song in Gratitude a million times. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's just cool to see, just to be in that again, like real recording studio, seeing these guys record. I kind of wanted to film it, you know, but I didn't know what the move was there. So that's my story. Thanks for listening.
Damn, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, I do have some photos. I can post them.
Oh, yeah. Please do. Speaking of studios, I've got an announcement to make, and I've got a sound to share.
The Nilotep album?
It's time for Sounds Good.
Sounds Good.
Sounds Good. This week on Sounds Good, I bring you my band Nilotep which we did discuss in our heavy metal episode. I mentioned that I'm in this long-term band project, Nilotep, and we finally released our 3-song acoustic EP, The Conflict is the Illusion, yesterday. It is now available for listen and download on soundcloud.com/Nilotep, Nihlotep.
Cool. We'll link to it on the web zone.
Mm-hmm. And we're gonna play the radio hit, the single. This is the catchy one.
Okay. What's the name of this tune?
The name of this tune is Costly Delusions of Man.
All right, let's hear it.
Ancestors defeated the Titans on every continent, have reached a truly ironic and perverse place in history. But when we add up the spoils of human triumph, there is no lack, no shortage at all. And since the tigers have all fled, why do our leaders persist in carrying weapons?
Up.
Thank you all for listening to that. Let's talk about it for a minute. Aubrey, what comes up for you after hearing that song? What visuals do you see?
See earth tones, flashes of red and orange.
Red and orange.
In a kind of apocalyptic horizon scene.
Hmm.
But I also know you guys, so I can picture you, the three of you in this environment. Almost like that video for Holy Diver, Ronnie James Dio. You ever seen that?
I probably have. Yeah, I don't recall it though.
It's like cool backdrops. With the band in front of them. I like it, man. It sounds really trebly. I don't know if that's just my headphones or the way it's going from the phone.
When we play it in the speakers, it's good. It's okay. Nice in the middle. It's pretty. It seems cool. To me. Seems balanced. I'll show you.
It's
later.
Cool. I like the MIDI bass.
Yeah, it's MIDI bass, and we actually ran it through a real bass head with an amp with a mic and picked it up, and then we didn't like it. It didn't sound as crisp. It wasn't as clean with all the notes we were doing, so you couldn't hear. It was muddy.
There are a few parts where it didn't sound like MIDI bass.
It was all MIDI bass.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a compliment. It's
nice.
There's some parts where it sounded like a real bass.
So this is a complex process. It took so long for this to happen.
This one song?
Well, to record this album, I wrote the kind of bones of this song, generally speaking, in my head in this apartment like 2 years ago. I kind of had some of the main riffs. And a little bit of a sequence, and I brought it.
I remember
it
you having that riff for a while.
Yeah. See, you heard me play it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And then I brought it to Evan Jenks and Christopher Whitlock, and they kind of filled it out and added some things, and then Evan wrote lyrics to it. And then it became that. And it wouldn't have been the same without them. And I think it ended up really well.
It's a two-year project.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so we have this three-song, 15-minute acoustic EP we just released. It's The Conflict is the Illusion.
Cool. We'll link to it on our web zone. Our web zine.
Yeah. So thank you all so much for listening to that sound, and I'm curious what you pictured. So comment below what you saw. I think it's time for a word from our sponsor.
50 flavors of mayonnaise, 50 years of experience. Final Corp. It'll be fine.
Guys, Final Corp. 50 years of experience, 50 flavors of mayonnaise. You're not going to find poison ivy flavored mayonnaise at any old store. Final Corp is the only corp that puts out poison sumac flavored ice cream popsicle sticks. They also put out the Mr. They have the raspberry, carbonated raspberry sports drink, Naze.
Naze.
Yeah. Basically raspberry flavored carbonated mayonnaise sports drink. This is the best.
Thanks to Final Corp. Finally, a corporation for all your needs. Final Corp. It'll be fine. Hey. You know when times are tough and you just need that extra little help and you're feeling down?
Just I do.
Go to finalcorp.com.
Finalcorp.tv.biz.fart. Final Corp. Finally, a corporation that will fuck you over. Thank you. Good night. And please clean your room and take out the garbage. Thanks.
Thanks, Final Corp. Okay. We bring you the topic of lifting.
Lifting.
You know, the last time you lifted was on the Bowflex.
That's right. And before that was like when I was 14. Actually, like with bench pressing specifically. I've done dumbbell stuff, but I haven't done bench pressing. Like since I was 16 or since we did it on the Bowflex. Wow. Like a year ago.
Wow.
But I've done push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups. Just not a lot of weights.
Yeah.
Training. But you had from a period, 14 though, right? I had a very intense period of lifting. Thank you. Very intense period of lifting from like 14 to 16 probably. Most intense time. Because at that point we had a weight bench, we had a heavy bag. Me and my brother, and that was when we sort of lifted, and I think it was because my brother had friends who were into lifting, so they influenced him, and he influenced me, and it was easy to just work out with your brother, you know. And have him tell me how to do things and stuff. And you have a spotter. You have someone that can spot you when you're doing bench presses.
That's so right? Much better.
So, yeah.
I was just daydreaming about like what if my brother lived close enough and we could lift weights together. We'd get so much stronger because we'd be spotting each other and then like, yeah. You know, what you just said, the benefits of a person to do it with.
Yeah. Spotting's huge.
Especially if you're dealing with actual weights. Now, I do own a Bowflex and those things are pretty cool.
Yeah.
They do a lot. It's not the same, but they
don't
do
need
a lot.
You don't need a spotter, right?
No, because it's just bands you're bending. And yeah. It's not accurate. The weight is, it says like 50. It's not.
More or less.
It's way less. What I do is.
But doesn't it get increasingly, isn't the resistance more exponential?
It is. It's exponential resistance, which is cool. And the numbers aren't accurate, you know,
right,
to what they say on it. Because I put all of them on.
It's a gimmick.
And then I curl all of them. And then it's
which
like.
Which is what, like 300? No.
No, it's like 200 or something like that. But that's not accurate.
Doing
There's
a,
no
doing
way.
Just a
curl, yeah.
Of the full bar.
Mm-hmm. I've actually half of it in each hand and either do it at the same time or one at a time.
Right.
And it's like that's not really like 200 pounds. It could, you know, it isn't.
did you ever have actual free weights?
Yes.
And there do lifting and benching and
I did.
Military press and learn all the names of all the moves.
I learned it in high school.
Yeah.
Learned that stuff. And then my dad also, he knew that stuff, and we had weights at home when we lived together while I was in high school. And
any favorite, any memorable weird
lifts
that you had? Or
I remember
moves?
In high school, there was this experience where I like lifted the most ever I had ever done in my mind. And it was in front of a bunch of people. And I was like, why this strange experience of like, wow, that was really cool. And a lot of people saw it and they
like
thought
strong,
it was cool.
Like strongman at the fairground.
That was my, guess something like that.
Like
yeah.
Hitting the sledgehammering the thing and ding.
It's like, oh shit. He's like, doing
I'm really fucking strong.
How about that?
How about that?
And then later, really, there was a period where Evan Jenks, myself, and Kevin Sondy were all lifting weights once a week at their like college weight gym room. And I got to the point where I was bench pressing more than I weighed. And it's like a pretty good measure of if you can bench press your weight, that's like, okay, that's a measure of health that exists in the world. And I was going more than that and doing that regularly. And
well,
that's
great.
That was a time when I was right about 20 that I was pretty compactly strong.
That means you could lift yourself out of a situation.
Yeah.
Like imagine if you have to pull yourself up out of a hole. A well.
I could have.
A well that's, you know, 4 feet round. And your hands are up. And you just have to grab onto the ledge and pull up like this.
It's good. It's good to be able to lift your weight.
One of the weirdest, coolest, something I had not seen was the hockey players on the East Coast. The kids I'd hang out with who actually played hockey. I didn't. But when they were working out, they had something to work out their forearms. And it was take a dowel, a wooden dowel, let's say 2 feet long, drill a hole through it, put a rope through that hole, tie it off on one end. And then on the other end of that rope, you have you put on weights, put on dumbbell weights. So let's say you put on 20 pounds at the end of this rope. And the rope is only as far, you know, it's only 4 feet long or something. So you stand with your arms outstretched in front of you, holding the dowel. Rope goes down and let's say there's 20 pounds on the end or 10 pounds. And you turn the dowel so that you're lifting the weight.
Yeah.
And you try to do it as fast as you can. It's just your forearms start burning. That's, it's good to have forearm strength in hockey. So you have stick handling, et cetera. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's why they did it. And it was like, they would just be doing this with, you know, so much weight and trying to do it as fast as they can. And it's super hard to do. Yeah.
If we did that in basketball, they filled large Gatorade bottles with sand and put them on a rope at the end of a stick. Yeah. And they had us do that.
Yeah.
In basketball.
It's good. That's a good little thing. It's like you don't even need weights. It's just a bag of sand.
That's it. A rope and a stick.
Rope and a stick.
Rope and a stick gets you pretty far.
Leg exercises. I never really did leg exercises.
But now you do.
Now I do.
Now you lift all the time. Because
it's actually fun. Like lifting is only so fun. Mm-hmm.
You finish and you feel good and then you do that so many times and you're like, well, I'm just lifting the same thing so many times, you know.
Right. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not just sitting in this one spot lifting weights.
I think lifting is cool, like seasonally.
Moving metal from one location to another.
Yeah. It's like I can imagine a seasonal kind of rotation of lifting and things like that where there was periods within seasons that I would like lift.
If there was a true winter in California, yeah.
Right. That would be a thing. And then otherwise, you know, we're cycling up mountains or...
Yeah.
Running away from zombies, you know. It's hard to say.
That is something we do.
Okay. Ladles and Google blarbs.
That was
we got to pause the program. It was like quiz time. Are you ready for the quiz?
Yes.
Okay, the quiz is from howstuffworks.com. We've got the ultimate bicycle repair quiz.
Huh. You know, I estimate I probably won't do that well.
You know, I got a score in this. I did this earlier today, and, you know, I did rush it a little, but I got a certain score. And, you know, I've decided I don't want to tell you what I got. I think what I want to do is reveal it at the end.
Okay.
And so, you know,
if you feel like it, you don't have to.
The thing is, if you tie me, we got to figure something out. If you beat
me, we got to talk.
Yeah. If you beat me, you get a prize. You win a actual useful prize. It's not like before. You will take home a bag's worth of vegetables from the garden.
Cool prize.
And you're getting pretty close to a meal at what that basket would be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Side salad.
Well, maybe with the squash and the chard.
Dessert.
And the strawberries maybe you could have a little bit of a thing going, you know?
Grow some cocoa beans. Cocoa beans.
You win it.
All right. Well, you know, let's give it a shot.
You could win that basket.
Sounds like a lot of work. Well, I give up.
Okay, so knowing how to repair your bicycle by yourself will not only save you money, but will give you the satisfaction of keeping yourself on the road. Fixing a flat tire, repairing or replacing a broken chain, or even replacing a spoke are not hard to do and require just a few basic tools. Take this quiz to learn more about repairing your bicycle. 1. What should you do when you can't remove a flat tire by hand? Is it use bike tire irons, use a screwdriver, use a blade?
What is a bike tire iron? I don't know what that is, so I'm going to say B.
Use a screwdriver?
Yeah, even though...
Is that your final answer?
Even though I wouldn't actually do that, so...
So what would you do?
Let's say A.
Use bike tire irons?
Because I'm assuming that they're referring to something that I don't have the jargon for.
Okay.
Or that I don't know of. So,
final answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with A.
Use bike tire irons. Correct. If you can't remove a tire from the rim by hand, use bike tire irons. Starting at a spoke, insert the plain end of a tire carefully between the rim and the tire. Pull the slotted end down and behind the spoke and hook the slot over the spoke to hold the tire firmly in place. Insert a second tire iron
and try to seduce me
and repeat me to pry more of the tire until you get the tire off.
Sounds erotic. Yeah. Okay.
I
thought this was a quiz to test my bike knowledge.
I was going
to
say.
I didn't know it was like a matchmaking quiz.
Okay. HowStuffWorks.com. Thank you. And I don't know how anybody could read that and figure out what the hell you're talking about. I'm just saying.
HowThisParagraphWorks.com.
Okay. Next. You got that one. That's correct. So let's see.
Cool. Correct.
Question 2. What is the easiest way to check a tire tube for leaks? Is it scan over the tube surface manually, put an air-filled tube into a bucket of water, or blow air through the tube?
B or 2, whichever one that is.
B. Put an air-filled tube into the bucket of water. Final answer.
Yes.
That's correct. Use a bicycle pump to fill the tube until it's firm.
Yep.
Fill a bucket of water, then hold the tube underwater a section at a time and watch for air bubbles.
Yeah.
Check the entire tube. There may be more than one leak. Mark any leaks with chalk.
And you know what? If you're in the field, you can use, and there's no bucket of water at hand. Mm-mm. I don't carry a bucket when I'm biking around, do you?
We do, actually. We have a secret bucket.
But you can also use, let's say you're in the middle of the desert, you got to check your tube has a leak.
Yeah.
You can use some of your water from your onboard water supply, your Camelback. Or you can use spittle. So you squeeze the tube and you kind of get a localized feeling for where the leak is. You spit on it. And then when you see it bubbling, you know that's where the leak is. Pro tip for you. If you're ever in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the apocalypse, you can still check your leak in your tube without a bucket of water. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey Cloutier.
Extra credit.
Question number three. What should you do before you put patches in the damaged area of the tire tube? Is it?
Habits.
For pour adhesive liquid everywhere. Cut off the damaged area. Scrape clean and roughen the area that needs a patch.
Three. C.
Correct. Use the roughing device or the top of the kit scrape and damaged area of the tube to clean it and provide a rough surface for the patch to bond to.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Number four. What is the first thing you do to repair a damaged tire? Remove the wheel from the bike. Remove the tube from the wheel. Remove the spoke from the wheel.
The first thing I do to correct to repair a damaged tire?
Correct.
Number one.
That's correct. To give you access to the damaged tire, you must first remove the wheel from the bike.
Huh.
Five. What do you use to prevent the patch from sticking to the inside of the tire? Is it aftershave lotion, talcum powder, cardboard sheet?
I actually don't know, but I'm going to guess two or B.
Talcum powder. Correct.
Hmm.
Let the patch dry for 5 minutes and then sprinkle it with talcum powder so it won't adhere to the inside of the tire.
Good that I just taught myself that by guessing.
How much time does it normally take to patch a bike tire? 60 minutes? 30 minutes? 45 minutes?
For me, about 30 seconds. But I'm going to go with 30 minutes.
That's correct. With the right tools and materials ready at hand, it should not take more than about 30 minutes to patch a bike tire. You know, but to anecdotally interrupt, it takes us like 7 max, yeah, really. Yeah. It's not like 30 minutes would be like, wow.
That question's kind of weak.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it doesn't 30 really.
30 minutes. It's like, Drew, what are you doing? It's like, Aubrey, what are you
what? What are you doing over there?
Dilly-dallying over there with a flat tire. We got to move here, man.
We have film footage of us changing a flat tire on the road. By the way, well, we don't have any pump or cylinders or anything. We have to buy something before the next trip.
Oh, no, I found my pump.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, I did. Good. I did. Whew. I had a brainstorm. I was like, oh, I know where it is.
So you do have the pump.
I do have the pump.
Okay, so we have two. We're golden. We're good. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, this is just
a trip without either.
This is just repairing the patch. This is just patching it. They're not even addressing pumping it up.
Oh, well, hey.
And we patch it and pump it up in like probably maximum 10 minutes.
Yeah, totally. Next question.
Okay.
What type of bicycle requires manual adjustment of chain tension? Automatic bikes? Derailleur bikes, single speed, and three speed bikes.
C.
That is correct. Chain tension on single speed bikes and three speed bikes with gears in the hub can be manually adjusted. On a derailleur bike, chain tension is adjusted automatically. Number 8. What is the most common method of measuring chain length? Is it measuring the distance between the rear sprocket and the front chain wheel, measuring the length of the old chain, measuring the diameter of the bicycle wheel?
A.
That is correct. If you can't measure by the old chain, check chain length by stretching the chain into place around the rear sprocket and the front chain wheel, exactly as the old chain was installed, with the two ends meeting at the front chain wheel. Next. How do you know you have tightened the new spokes correctly? Is it the wheel spins with a wobble? The wheel spins freely and evenly? The wheel curves a little where the new spoke went in?
B, too.
That's correct. When you have tightened the new spokes correctly, the wheel spins freely and evenly. If it rotates with a wobble, adjust the spoke opposite the new spoke until the wobble stops. Number 10. Which does not cause inadequate braking? Wear to the brake shoes, a loose brake cable on one or both wheels, a missing spoke.
What does not cause inadequate braking? See, three.
That is correct. Inadequate braking is often the result of a loose brake cable on one or both bike wheels. It can also be caused by wear to the brake shoes. If the blocks of rubber that press against the wheel rims when the brake levers are squeezed. Number 11. What type of chain do single-speed and three-speed bicycles use? Half-inch chain with a master link. Quarter-inch chain with a master link. Eighth-inch chain with a master link.
Two, quarter-inch.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, I had no clue on that one.
The correct answer is an eighth-inch chain with a master link. Single-speed and three-speed bikes use an eighth-inch chain with a master link.
That's narrow, man.
Yeah, it is really narrow. Number 12, what type of chain do a 5 and 10-speed bicycle use? 3 and 32nds inch continuous change. 3 and 16ths inch continuous change. 3/8 inch continuous change.
B. Yeah, these... Darn. No clue on these ones.
5 and 10-speed bikes use a 3 32nds inch continuous chain.
But, okay, it's good to know that.
Okay, number 13. What is commonly used to clean bicycle chains?
Mayonnaise.
No. Mustard oil. Kerosene. Castor oil.
Castor oil.
Bow.
Really?
Ooh. Kerosene, actually.
Oh, kerosene.
Bicycle chains are easily cleaned using kerosene.
That makes sense. I guess it makes sense.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You're getting in danger here now.
No, I know. This is probably how you got such a low score, because these fucking...
Yeah, because they're hard.
These questions.
Okay, number 14.
Mensa level.
Which tool is used in cleaning and replacing a bicycle chain?
Mayonnaise.
Iron saw. Screwdriver. Needle nose pliers or chain rivet extractor.
C.
That's correct. Ooh, nice recovery. You use needle nose pliers or a chain rivet extractor to repair bicycle chains.
Yeah. What do you use to clean a chain?
Hammer.
C. Chain cleaner.
Number 15.
What do you think?
The master link of which size bike chain has straight side plates? Eighth inch? Quarter inch? Half inch?
Eighth inch.
That's correct.
That makes sense because it doesn't have to use a derailleur. So the single and three speed bikes have the.
The master link of an eighth inch chain has straight side plates. To open the master link, pull out the retaining clip with the needle nose pliers, then remove the side plate. See, okay, seriously, if I heard that, I wouldn't be like, oh, cool, I know what you mean. I seriously can't picture that at all.
I'd be like, yeah, I've seen Star Trek. I recognize some of those words. It's just they're in the wrong order. Words, you didn't mention the warp core.
Yeah. Number 16 of 21. Which of these oil types is also used when cleaning bike chains? Diesel. Motor oil. Mustard oil.
B.
That's correct. After cleaning the chain with kerosene, immerse the cleaned chain in motor oil, removing it, and wipe off the excess oil with rags. Let the chain dry until it stops dripping.
I didn't know this stuff.
See, isn't this cool? We're learning this right now.
That's how you get like a minty fresh chain. Kerosene and then motor oil.
Number 17. How do you fit a new chain to the bicycle? Is it use a welding torch to fuse unnecessary links? Use an electric torch to cut the new chain to size. Remove links as necessary to adjust the chain to proper length.
See.
That is correct. You must measure the new chain against the old one and remove its links as necessary to adjust the new chain to the proper length. I can picture that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You start out.
First one that makes sense.
You start out long and then you tighten it up.
Yeah. We carry that tool with us. You know, when we're on the road with the Bike Order Warriors, we always have that tool.
That's true. You have it.
Yeah. We might need it sometime.
Specifically, yeah, yeah. I've never used it.
I haven't either. I've never used it either. But when one day when your chain pops off, won't it be cool that we can just pop that over and rehook it up?
Yeah, the chain breaking is like the fan belt breaking.
Yeah, yeah, bad.
Yeah.
But now we're ready to go. Number 18. How do you position the bicycle where you are replacing a spoke? Upside down, erect, or hung? See, also, kind of like a little sexy on that
kind of sexual. The one that I choose the one that's not sexual. First one.
Upside down. That is correct.
I guess it could be sexual. That is correct.
Set the bicycle upside down and prop it firmly in place. How? Wow.
Prop it.
You're almost there, man.
Thrust in your tool from behind the bike. You know.
Yeah. Hung. Sprung.
Hung.
Boner. Wait. Whoa. Okay.
Erect. Hung. Okay.
So, number 19 of 21.
Okay.
What tool do you use to cut the old spokes? Is it screwdriver, wire cutter, knife?
Wire cutter, B.
That's correct. If the old spoke is still in the wheel, cut it off at both ends with wire cutters. Remove any piece of the old spoke left in the wheel, rim, or the hub. Number 20. What tool do you use to adjust brake shoes on the wheel rim? Chain rivet extractor.
Brake adjustment tool.
Wire cutter. Third hand.
B. Wire cutter. What is it? Third hand?
Third hand.
What is that?
Place a third hand, a special tool available at bike shops, over the brake shoes and use to draw them into contact with the wheel rim so that you can adjust them.
Jargon.
Jargon.
Jargon questions.
Last question. Oh, my God. Final question. 21. Wow. And actually, to tell you the truth, this... Okay, here it is. Here's the final. Here's the thing.
This is it.
You actually have the exact score that I had.
Oh, so this is the tiebreaker?
When I did this test. So you so far, sir, are at 16 out of 21. That is the score that I got.
This is a tiebreaker.
So this is the tiebreaker. So if you miss this question, there's that whole other conversation.
Yeah, yeah. All right, give it to me. It's going to be
some
tech. If
you get this question right, weird, you get the garden basket.
It's going to be a weird tech question.
How do you know whether their bicycle is ready to destroy? Okay.
Number
21. How do you know the weather your bicycle's rubber brake shoes are okay?
What? How do you know whether your rubber...
No. Last opportunity. No, actually, I think you already heard it. You know the question. You know, you heard it enough times. This is the final tiebreaker.
What are the
rubber options? Is flexible. The rubber is brittle. The rubber is worn off.
Brittle. B. 2.
And,
really?
Oh my gosh.
Shit.
Oh, whoa. I did not expect that to happen.
Whoa.
The rubber is flexible. Examine the brake shoes carefully. The rubber should be flexible. If a shoe is hardened or cracked, or if it is less than 1/2 inch thick above the metal mounting plate, it must be replaced. Wow, dang it. I really thought you were going to get that.
Well, hey, thanks for the quiz. I think, thanks.
So that means it's a tie.
It means that you, it's a total tie?
That's a total
tie. I don't lose points.
No, we tied completely.
We should have a podcast or something.
I think so.
Yeah.
So what that means is we have to do that whole thing now then.
What?
Well, it takes a minute to explain. I think it's time for a little improv.
Taking it easy on the side roads. Won't you take it easy with me? Taking it easy on the side roads. Taking it easy. Taking it easy on the
Thanks, guys, for listening. We did a gradient update. We had a quiz. We had a Sounds Good segment in which we showcased Nyarlathotep's acoustic metal tune. And we did a little improvisation. Right?
Yeah, we did.
And we talked a little bit about lifting. Maybe that's the topic of the episode.
And we have a question today. Is there a question?
You got a question?
The question of the week is, what do you want to spend your time doing? Like, if you could choose what you spent a bulk of your time doing, what would it be?
I'd like to thank you, Drew, for once again providing the means to do this.
You're very welcome, your presence, sir. Yeah.
And all our listeners for tuning in. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. There we go. Fucking, you're a genius, Aubrey. Oh.